Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580. Thanks again for joining us here on Circles of Change. It's always a pleasure to have a guest in studio, although we call all around the world many times. Welcome to our studio, Terry Etherton. How are you this morning, Terry?
I'm doing well, Zara. Thank you.
Terrific. Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Well, let me offer a brief introduction. With one foot in Tucson and the other in the international photography community, Terry Etherton has built an extraordinary gallery with roots that are local and a global reputation. He's the founder, president, and owner of Etherton Gallery, which this year is celebrating its 30th year of spotlighting photography from local, regional, and nationally known artists, in addition to special collections of painting, sculpture, and mixed media. It's located in the historic circa 1914 Old Fellows Hall in downtown Tucson on 6th Avenue since 1998, and Terry really is a pioneer, having led the way in the 1980s to influence museums around the U.S. to frankly recognize photography as a fine art appropriate for collection and exhibition. Following military service in the U.S. Army, Terry earned a degree in cinema and photography from Southern Illinois University, then went to San Francisco State to the Center for Experiential and Interdisciplinary Art. Today, in addition to leading his own gallery since 1990, he's managed the Temple Gallery, placing work in some of our country's most prominent institutions, such as the Museum of Modern Art in New York, San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, the J. Paul Getty Museum, Los Angeles County Museum, the National Gallery of Art, and even the Art Institute of Chicago. Terry is a true art and community connector and advocate. You're going to hear that today. He's involved very much so in Tucson's SOCO, or South of Congress Cultural Center, donating proceeds from sales to multiple nonprofits, plus collaborating through juried photography competitions throughout Southern Arizona, Pima Arts Council, and speaking to student groups and museum audiences. Well, there is a lot hopping downtown these days, isn't there?
It's amazing. I mean, anybody who doubts the renaissance of downtown Tucson just needs to show up almost any night, but particularly on weekend nights, and you'll see, feels like we're in Austin or Portland now.
Isn't that a nice thing? Well, it was quite a visionary step that you took then 30 years ago to make the investment you did in starting your gallery, and then in the late 80s to actually move to that historic building where you are. What's the history behind it all?
Well, I mean, people often ask me, what was your business plan? I had no business plan whatsoever. I basically opened the gallery on a whim. I'd moved from San Francisco with the idea of opening a gallery in Tucson. The Center for Creative Photography was here. That was one of the strong impetus for me to come here. And just one day on a whim, I found a space on 6th Street near 4th Avenue, opened the gallery, and sort of 30 years has gone by, went by quickly, and you know, I'm still doing it.
And you're a photographer yourself, right?
Well, I was. I have a degree in cinema and photography, and I actually supported myself for almost 10 years in San Francisco prior to moving to Tucson. So I have an arts background, not really a business background. I've kind of learned that as I've gone along.
And sometimes what you don't know actually allows you then to do what you thought you couldn't do, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if I actually wrote down on paper what my business plan was, I would have I would have not done it, because on paper it didn't make any sense at all. So I've just sort of blindly gone along and learned as I've gone along. And I've been very fortunate. You know, Tucson is a very supportive community. I've got great landlords. I've got a great space. I've got the best staff you could possibly imagine. So a lot of things have fallen into place. I've had a lot of help.
Well, the Etherton Gallery is actually upstairs in this classic building. So maybe for those who haven't had a chance to visit it, could you take us on a virtual tour right now? Walk us upstairs.
We like to say we're the best upstairs downtown.
I like that.
You know, a lot of people think of Tucson as a one-story town, but yeah, that's quickly changing. We are on the second floor of the historic Odd Fellows Hall. The gallery is housed in what was the ballroom. So it has the original hardwood floors and 16-foot ceilings with no internal support. So it's a very grand space.
And over the years, the ebb and tide of the type of artists you've featured, maybe describe some of those early steps you took and attracted to your gallery, and then perhaps how that's changed or oscillated over time.
Well, when I first came to Tucson, I had a lot of connections from the Bay Area, and so I started the gallery with connections and artists I knew in the Bay Area and working with some galleries up there. And then working in a lot of Arizona people, a lot of photographers and artists from Arizona State and the University of Arizona. After 4 or 5 years being here, I started meeting all the a lot of non-photographers, and we started showing paintings and prints and sculpture early on. So the gallery has changed from initially being just about photography to a little bit of everything, although we are predominantly a photography gallery, and that's how we're known kind of nationally and internationally.
You know, I said in the introduction, Terry, that you were really one of the pioneers that got photography recognized as a fine art. I guess I'm puzzled to think why it wasn't. Is it because it was out of this machine as opposed to the hand, or?
Well, I don't have much credit I can take for that. I mean, maybe I did that in this area, but yeah. By the time I opened my gallery, there were quite a few galleries in New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, but there wasn't a gallery in Arizona. The nearest gallery that was showing photography was in Santa Fe. And, the Center for Creative Photography really played a big role in that. They had done a lot to already educate people and establish the fact that it was, you know, worthy of collecting photography in a big way. My job was to sort of educate people locally about collecting it. Mm-hmm. And then I started making these incredible road trips the first 2 years, driving all the way from Tucson to Florida and up the East Coast. I often tell the story that what I did those first few years, I finally discovered that summers in Tucson were...
Yeah, not the place to be necessarily,
yeah, I
mean, right?
Nobody warned me about that. And I decided that what I needed to do in the summer is load my car up with photographs and take the Eastman House Guide to Photographic Collections, a calendar, a baseball schedule, and try to be in, say, Houston when the Astros were there and I could see Ann Tucker at the Museum of Fine Arts, and then to go to the High Museum when the Braves were in town and be in Philadelphia when the Phillies were there. So I kind of combined baseball.
Now, we might have lost it there. It's because you're a lifelong baseball addict.
It is, and a lot of these trips I did alone, and I figured, you know, at night, what am I going to do with myself? I'll go to a baseball game. So it was kind of a goal to see as many baseball parks as I could while trying, you know, to meet curators and sell photographs. And it kind of worked out. You know, a lot of those contacts I made on those early trips I'm still dealing with today.
Isn't that fun? Did you ever take account of how many stadiums you visited?
Well, one summer I visited 17.
Oh, wow.
Which was, I think, the most I ever did, you know. And in every one of those cities where there were stadiums, there were also institutions who had some photography department.
Yeah, interesting. That's great fun. And so, you know, for our listeners, this idea, I always comment about don't get stuck in the tyranny of the or, think and. In your case, you said art, photography, baseball, you know, and also the grand adventure of it all. And to think that you've collected those people at the same time, that you've leveraged it.
No, it's very gratifying. I mean, some of my best clients right now are people that I did meet on those early road trips. You know, they're curators at, say, the Nelson Atkins Museum in Kansas City, or the Museum of Fine Arts in Houston, the High Museum in Atlanta. I mean, a lot of us have kind of, you know, grown up together, you know.
That's right. And how the business of art and curation and museums has changed as well in the process.
Well, when I first started out, there were a fair amount of collections around the United States in major museums, but in the 30 years I've been doing this, it's expanded exponentially, where almost every single university art gallery has some photography now. I mean, that's a really big change, and now there are photography galleries in every major city in the United States and Europe. So it's really grown since I started.
Yeah, you bet. Well, talk to us again, because you have followed the field for so many years. Now the advent of the internet, the advent of digital photography. I mean, just this whole techno dump that's come your way, or you folks have grasped for.
Well, it's great. I mean, what I used to do 30 years ago and what I do now are completely different. I spend most of my day at a computer.
Yeah, right.
We have a very big web presence.
Yeah.
Both with our own website and through a big umbrella group out of New York called ArtNet. So we reach a global audience that way. I also participate in a number of art fairs around the United States, primarily in New York City and occasionally in Miami, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco. So during those shows, you know, we'll meet curators from all over the world, and we meet you know, photographers, writers, publishers. Those shows are really crucial.
And the cross-generational attraction of professionals in that field? In other words, you've got those of you who've been long anchored it, but are young up-and-coming professionals jumping on the ball too?
Well, yeah, I like to think of myself as, I guess, I turned 60 this year, so I get, and I've been in business 30 years, so I guess I'm established, you know. But there are a whole generation of younger people who are coming into the field, and a lot of them are children of my colleagues, mm-hmm. you know, who have sort of learned the business as they've gone along. So the field is in very good hands. There's some very talented younger people in the field. I'm a member of something called the Association of International Photography Art Dealers. We are 35 years old, and we have about 150 members right now. And you know, most of us have been around for a while, but there's every year there are new people coming into the field, which is really exciting. It keeps us on our toes.
Well, and you're right. It's like reverse mentoring is that what happens, doesn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, sometimes I feel like, you know, a dinosaur in this business, and I have certain kinds of, you know, traditional tastes, but I have to always pay attention to what's new and and be open to seeing all kinds of new media and new ways of presenting things.
So what are some of those new trends and new media and openings that are catching, you know, taking your breath away?
Well, in photography in particular, digital's changed everything. I mean, and it's, you know, people often ask me, well, what about digital photography? And I tell them that it is just a great tool. You know, it's like anything else. It's like when film, you know, first came around, that was a new tool. Digital has allowed photographers now to do things that were completely impossible before, primarily making very large-scale, very high-quality prints that will last forever. I mean, mm-hmm. this is all new technology, and we've definitely embraced it.
And in fact, so many people in the art world, if they aren't embracing the new technology, you know, they're underestimating then that they're not stretching and growing their own skills because they can go places they never thought they could.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say what's going to happen in the next few years. I mean, right now, just if 5 years ago, for example, the you couldn't make the kind of quality large-scale photographs that you can today. So I don't know what's going to happen 5 years from now, you know, but it's exciting. I mean, we have kind of one foot in both worlds here in that we do emphasize a lot of traditional old style, you know, old process photography, but we also, you know, have to be very aware of the new technologies and stay on top of it, because if we don't, you know, we'll lose that audience, you know, that wants to see something new and exciting.
What I think is interesting, Terry, is you're just characterizing, you're here in Tucson. You know, Greater Tucson has 800,000 people, and I think about the reach and impact you have and also the things that are influencing you. So how has that changed from the global standpoint, you know, in terms of influences from Asia or your reach from Asia, from Europe, Middle East?
Well, you know, the art fairs I do is where I become, you know, physically in connection with new media. You know, it's mm-hmm. one thing to see it on the internet and look at it in books, but it's another thing to actually see it on the wall. So, you know, I visit a lot of museums. I go to art fairs. I'm going to San Francisco next week to visit a couple art fairs, and, you know, we'll see all kinds of new things. So I have to get out there and see new things and stay aware of what's going on out there, and also just to, you know, let everybody know that I'm still in the game here.
Yeah, absolutely. Share with us some of your early mentors, or those that really inspired you in the process of developing the gallery and just your ongoing evolution of your own taste in photography and art.
Well, you know, I have a degree in photography from Southern Illinois University. I had a teacher there, Charles Swedland, who really is probably the reason that I got into photography. I took a history of photography class kind of on a whim. Mm-hmm. I took it mainly because there was a young woman in the class I wanted to meet. I mean, it's a true story. And yep. I took the class because I knew she was taking it, and the class was an epiphany for me. Epiphany. I changed my major immediately, and you know, I've never looked back. So Charles Swedland was a big influence, and then early on, you know, I started visiting galleries in San Francisco. There was a gallery called Grapesteak and Frankel Gallery who, you know, I spent lots of time there looking around. I made trips to New York to see Witkin Gallery and Light Gallery. These were the really early photo galleries.
Yeah, that really spurred, and then, you know, for you to get in tow. Well, you know, we started here at the onset to talk about, I just made that comment, there's a lot happened downtown. I know you're tremendously passionate about the shifting and changing, and also you've got your fingers in a lot of places helping motivate that. So give our listeners a perspective on that, and where do you see it headed?
Well, you know, we've been in business since 1981, and we moved into the Oddfellows Hall in 1988. So I've been there 23 years, right downtown, you know, sort of watching everything happen and sort of been frustrated by a lot of promises that never happened, a lot of money that never came, you know, a lot of fits and starts. Right now, it is probably the most exciting time that for me ever. If you come downtown any night, there are so many new restaurants. There are so many new projects. You know, the TEP building's going in right across the street from us. We're going to have 400 people working in there. There's the big project over by the 4th Avenue Tunnel, the El Central Garage, which is, you know, residential retail.
And I know we were talking about before the show, though, there's also a sense, though, of much more collaboration and recognition that it isn't just big office buildings, but it's also the retail space. It's the face to the street that's going to allow this becoming a very people-friendly, centric destination.
Well, one of the reasons that I really like being in Tucson is because there is a sense of collaboration. I'll give you a good example. In the fall, the Tucson Museum of Art's doing a show called Who Shot Rock and Roll? It's a show put together by the Brooklyn Museum, and it's sort of a history of rock and roll photography. We have been collaborating with the museum, along with a lot of other entities in the city, to do a citywide event called Tucson Rocks. It'll be a four-month event, which will involve many exhibitions, many demonstrations, performances. So it's wonderful that the Tucson Museum of Art has reached out to all of us to try to make this more than just about their show.
Absolutely.
And I think that's unique. I don't know many other cities where that happens on that level.
And then typically that really is kind of a tipping point for then who knows what that's going to transpire after the fact as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, we are trying to collaborate with as many people as we can and share information, share audiences. You know, get people to come, give people a lot of reasons to come downtown.
That's very good. Well, before we run out of time, I want to just remember we've got Terry Etherton here from the Etherton Gallery. It's located at 135 South 6th Avenue, and it's open Tuesday through Saturday, right, 11 to 5, as well as by special appointment. I know also, Terry, you make your gallery available for private events. It's a beautiful setting to that venue. You've got a big anniversary show coming up then this year, this summer.
We do. This is our 30th anniversary, and we thought about what to do about it. And, you know, we thought, well, let's go back and look at some of the artists we showed and pick one piece by each artist. Well, that's impossible because there's been hundreds.
Yeah.
So we decided to sort of play to our strengths, which is American photography post-World War II. So the show is called Masters of American Photography. It opens June 7th, and it will include, among other photographers, Ansel Adams, Harry Callahan, Frederick Sommer, Lee Friedlander, Emmett Gowan, and many other luminaries. It'll be a museum-quality show.
How exciting. Well, one final question for you. You know, you personally have, I suspect, gone through a lot of change in the course of leading change in the context of photography and your gallery. Any final thought about that? Is how you think you've changed the most during the journey you continue to walk?
Well, first of all, I feel extremely fortunate. I've had a lot of help along the way. You know, my wife and my son have been incredibly supportive and very patient through this. There have been some lean years and some not so lean years. And, it's always a struggle. It's work. You know, people think it's a romantic thing I do, but it's a job that I feel very privileged that I have. I mean, I love going to work every day.
Yeah.
And I love the space I'm in. I love the people I work around. I get to work with artists. I'm just very fortunate.
That's a lovely, lovely capstone. Well, thanks again, Terry Etherton from the Etherton Gallery here in Tucson. Real pleasure to have had you on your show, and we'll look forward to attending your special celebration later on this summer.
Thanks for having me, Zara.
Take care. You bet.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.